They have this, whatever. Sometimes they have less, sometimes they have more. I'm just saying, there's plenty of food there. Milk, products. You have no idea how much food there is. Okay? All I need is $100,000 for food storage. And I never have to go back to any of the donors for money again for food. You think you can raise the money? You think it's easy? They don't want to store it. It's not their game. They're finished with the food. Nem avek. I don't want it anymore. The tariq's over. Tariq, whatever. I don't know what their cheshbonos are. I don't know. I'm just telling you. That's what they do. The potato farmers finished playing the land. Which is every year. They finish playing the land. Whatever's left in the field, they leave. You know how much potatoes get left in the field? Tons of potatoes. I'm not talking about kilos. Tons of potatoes. Doesn't pay them to go pick up the sherries. So you get somebody to go there to pick it up. You got potatoes for 6 months. You store them. Potatoes you can store in cold room. So I'm just saying, we think it would have been easy sell. It would be easy to raise the money for Zchik. Try and raise the money for a cold. These portions. All right. So we saw the korach of busha, almost a korach of toiv a person has to have, but before that, just to recognize the enormous chokhmah in the fact that Hashem gave us a korach of busha. And that's one of the simonim of Klal Yisrael. Busha v'ikolmu midarcheichem beis Yisrael. Busha is one of our ways. It's one of the most powerful tools as well. And it's under attack in this generation. You have to guard it, not push it. Ulmasel sheyesh lanu lesipuk tzachei gufeinu vekiven tunois avareinu me'atayva gedoyle she'osel etkim imanu b'zeh she'osel lanu seichel v'akorah. The enormous benefit that we have to be able to provide our guf with what it needs, and that we can aim and move our limbs. From the greatest toiv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that He gave us seichel v'hakorah. He gave us whatever seichel translates as, and hakorah, recognition, that you can recognize, you can see things. Shebezeh anu ha'yechidim miyesa balechayim, we're unique from all the balechayim. Ein tzorech levayer, this doesn't need explanation. The only person that doesn't recognize the toeles of his seichel is somebody who's completely chosedas, which the Gemara says someone who's chosedas osel rachem alav. Shenivka b'moichay, mama, she's got his brain damaged. The yeshlis akev rakala toilos haruchnis. All we need to do is just stop and think a little bit about the enormous spiritual benefits that a person can attain via the seichel, because they're many. And then it goes on and explains a few of these enormous spiritual benefits that one gets from having seichel. The seichel is one of the enormous benefits that Hashem gave us, and you can see the chokhmah of Hashem in the seichel. But there's also the spiritual benefit. Achas menhi, number one. Shel yadei seichel b'yelochoteinu l'das sheyesh lanu boire. Through the seichel, you're able to come to a recognition that there's a boire. Ashu chochem, and you can recognize that he's very wise. Kayom l'netzach, that he's eternal. Echad miyuchod, that he's one and unique. Kadmoy, that means he always was. Kol Yochel, he's all powerful. Lo Yochel lo yisol lo zman velo mokom. V'umereime mimidus u'machshavas abruim. He's way beyond the tendencies, the ways, and the thoughts of his creatures. He has no middle or machshava that's similar to the creation. He's rochum v'chanun and he only does good. He's not similar to anything. Rav dava ene doim elav, no one's similar to him. You know why you need the flip side of that? That's the... Thank you. Shimon says this in the Adama to the Shari Yoshua, Rav Shimon Shkop says this Mefurush, that however much a person has to become Doimet to Hashem, it's not good for him to become totally Doimet to Hashem where he stops caring about himself. It says, V'avtarecha kamoichid, if he needs to be a kamoichid before anything else can start. That's the vote. He says, Hashem is kulu giving because Hashem is not chos anything, but Adam is always chosa, and therefore he has a chiv to take care of his needs. Therefore he can never be Doimet adasof to Hashem. He speaks that out Mefurush. That Adama to the Shari Yoshua of Shimon is unbelievable. Probably the most lomdish sefer ever written. Shari Yoshua is lomdus within lomdus, and the Adama is mamash like, it's pure poetry. Unbelievable beauty. He discusses the machlaikas, the seeming stira between Rabbi Akiva holds Chayecha Kmin and V'Haftarecha Moich, Zekel Godel B'Toyra. It seems a stira. Rabbi Akiva taught two big chidushim. The one is Chayecha Koidmim, you come first. If it's you or your friend going to die, he dies and you walk out of the desert with the water. At the same time, Rabbi Akiva says, Zekel Godel B'Toyra, V'Haftarecha Kamoichos. How do you stem those two? So there's a whole arichas there. So there he brings down this, that V'Haftarecha Kamoicha is not a stira to Chayecha Koidmim. Because you need the kamoicha before you can have after a reicha. But Hashem, it doesn't work like that. Hashem is kulu kulu, not lacking anything, and all he does is give. A human being needs to take certain things. So therefore his midos are never the same as Hashem's. Even in the Vachta Bedrochov, Hashem's, that was Menashe's taina to Hashem. But Menashe said, if you help me now, then you're Hashem, but if you don't, you're like all the avodah zoras. So if Pinkas explained, he said, what was his taina? His taina was, if you can't help me, it's because your rachamim's mugbal. It's because I'm such a Rosha, you can't save me. So you like all the Vodazoras, they're Mugbal. You can be a million times bigger than them, but you're still Mugbal. Mashkan, if you can help even me, so then you're Hashem, because then your Rachamim's infinite. That was Menashe's taina to Hashem, and Hashem was maskim. Even the Malachim didn't buy into that taina. So the Malachim. So that's a machlokes, the Bo and the Chayim Salavavas. That's a machlokes, we've discussed it ya many times. V'abotech v'Hashem chesed v'sevaveinu, the Gros says, afilo Rosh HaGomer. Chayim Salavavas doesn't seem to agree, although there's a stir in Chayim, whatever, that's a discussion. Yaakov Drutman told me that the Chofetz Chaim, in the end of Nitche Yisrael, he has a shtickle memories there, I've never seen it, but he says there the Chofetz Chaim paskins like the Gros. He wants also Gershonovitz Hatzal. How can the Chofetz Chaim paskin the Grog against Chayim Salavavas? So he said, I don't know, but the Chofetz Chaim is the Poisek Achron. If that's how he paskin, that's the halacha. Avotel Pashem Chesed Yisavavainu Afilu Rosh Hashanah. So it means Menashe paskin like the Grog. Could be Israel. Don't know. A big tumult. It's a big sugya there. We touched on it a little bit when we were learning Shara B'Tochen. It's a massive sugya. But the Chofetz Chaim is like the Grog. Some of them, unfortunately, want to say it's the schus of the betochen that gives him the betochen. But it's hard to understand a person can have betochen in Hashem. Betochen in Hashem means you know who Hashem is, you understand what he is, whatever, and you're still rebelling against him and worship. It said, Manasseh worshipped every avodah zarah in the book and abandoned Hashem. But who knows what he did in the Heichel, whatever, and yet Hashem still, yeah, that's the vote. His chesed is infinite. Hashem's rachamim for us is not mugbal by our smallness and silliness and narishkeit. The Chayim Salavavas seems to go like the Goyim as well in a few places, because he says that the schar that Hashem is going to give us is much bigger than we deserve, and it's more than we deserve, and it's all many times he says there that it's not tolu on us, it's not tolu on our behavior. We had the kasha not so long ago. The bread of shame. We had that kasha a few weeks ago. So Salavava says, you, the reward you get is much bigger than you deserve. If it's much bigger than you deserve, what do I have to come down here for in the first place? I came down here so that the reward would be earned. He says, no, the reward you earn is very small. The real reward is just kulu chesed. Wait, the kasha. Our problem is we think Hashem's like us. Therefore we think his rachamim and his mercy functions like our rachamim and mercy. We don't understand what it means to be kulu kulu infinite rachamim. So I think that's the vort here. V'chei metolus ha-seichel sh'anu mevinim al yodoi It's Chochmas Hashem v'yicholtoi v'rachamav sheyeshnam bo'ilom. One of the other benefits of the Seichel is that we understand via the Seichel Chochmas Hashem and his ability and his rachamim sheyeshnam bo'ilom. V'sha'anu mukhayevim v'avadoisoi mipnei shuroi lezeh machmas gudulosoi v'romamusoi. Throughout the Koyvus of Lavavos, he brings rayas why we chayv to serve Hashem. This is one of the themes. Is Yuchai to serve Hashem because of his enormous chokhmah and his reimimus. In other places it says Yuchai to serve Hashem because of the chesed he does for you. Many different sibot why Yuchai to serve Hashem. But yeah, Yuchai to serve Hashem just because you recognize how unbelievable great he is. Where? The godless could mean chesed. God often means chesed. Yeah. He bestows good on the world always. Kuloi. And each individual, from Nibetze, Kinim, are the greatest animals. Hashem's feeding them all the time. It costs $40,000 to feed an elephant every year.
Wow.
So how many elephants there are in the world? That's just the elephants. What about the rest of the stuff out there? $40,000 just Hashem feeds just for the elephants. That's quite a big budget, though, just on elephants. Yeah. Hashem's taking care of everything benifrad. And by the Seichel we also come to an Emunah in the Torah of Hashem, Ha'amitit, the true Torah of Hashem that was given to Moshe, his prophet, Avon Hashalom. Ubrigal Seichel lo'odom v'karosoy olov lo'teit din v'cheshbon. And because man has the seichel and recognition, he's going to have to give din v'cheshbon. Ubiglaloi makpid boira ala nagoso, and therefore Hashem is makpid on his behavior. He doesn't just let him run around like a meshugana. Shemishu chosadeh mistalekas ma'alav ha'mayle se'nushis kulon v'upotem mi'amitzvus v'ein lo scha v'inesh. Someone who's got lacking in das, someone who doesn't have das, so he's removed from him all the aspects of humanness, and he's parted from all the mitzvahs and he doesn't have schav oinesh. Whereas an Adam, Hashem's makpid on him. You have abilities, you have koiches, I want you to use them. Rabbi Eliyahu Lyopin tells a story when he was a child. So he dropped a plate once or whatever, he was being wild or whatever, and he broke the plate. Oh, and did he get it from his mother? Oh, did he get a punch? A few hours later, the chicken came into the house or whatever and knocked like 20 plates off the table and broke them all. So he thought to himself, oh, now this chicken's going to get it. If I broke one plate and I got such a patch, you know what's going to happen to this chicken for breaking 20 plates or whatever? His mother walked in and said, ay, azazach. Picked up the chicken and threw him out into the street. He was like, that's not fair. I want to be a chicken. I'll break one plate. I get a club. The chicken comes in and breaks 20 plates and she just picks him up and throws him out. He said, afterwards he went outside and he saw the chicken pecking around in the ground, eating worms, whatever. He said, I'd rather get the patch and be a human than be a chicken. That's the vort here. The Kodesh Baruch Hu demands more from us because he gave us more. He wants us to use our koiches and use our abilities, and therefore we have them. You expect more. Putin's got two children, the one is a big Balkishan or whatever, and the other one's Nebuch, he's not a... The father demands more from the Balkishan. And we might as a Seichel the qualities of the Seichel, shall yoda masig adam es kol musogov ha-mukhshim va-sikhlim u-boi hu roi es ha-dvorim ha-nelomim mi-chushe ha-gashmim. We'll see what he's talking about now. That via the Seichel a person can attain, grasp, understands it in Mukhashim v'sichlim. Mukhashim is in the feelings, emotions, in the emotional world and in the Seichel world, and he can see things he's able to the seichel to see things which are hidden from his senses, maybe the mukhoshim or senses, physical senses. Afal pi shem nirim, even though they're apparent, kagon tnuas hatzeil. So let's just take a bit of time here. What he means by tnuas hatzeil, the moving of the shadows. It says here, shegam im ha'adam mistakel alav kol hazman, einu mafchin b'tnuasof. If a person will look all the time at shade, he won't be able to grasp the movement. El sichla imalo shel umikaidem rois atzel b'mokem ze v'akach makachem acher mochach shebekol chelik v'chelik miyazman shavah. The person sees the shadow here, and an hour later he sees it here. He has to understand it. It didn't jump from there to here. He seichel explains to him that it was moving all the time, lat lat, from here to here. Even he didn't see it. The same as a flower. You see a flower closed at night. You come the next morning, it's open. You understand? It just pop open. Take one of these fancy time delay cameras and you watch the playback, the form. It's amazing. You can see the way it opens slowly, but you can't see it happening. And yet it happens. So the seichel is able to see things like that that your five senses can't pick up. You take a drop of water, this is my favorite subject, so you're going to have to excuse me here. If you've heard this before, I apologize, but some of you haven't. What was Rabbi Akiva's chiddush that changed his whole lives and our whole lives? Because he saw water erosion. Big deal. Every kid who's been to the sea by the age of 4 years old knows that if you put enough water in a rock, it eventually erodes. What did Rabbi Akiva's big chiddush? What did he see? He saw this. If there's a hole in the rock, the first drop must have done something. Ask this question to intelligent people. If I take a drop of water and I drop it on the stone here, is that stone a different stone or not? And they'll all tell you no. Now and again, a bright kid tells you it has to be. Very rare. Kid will turn around and say, of course it did something, otherwise the second drop's the first drop and then it'll never make a hole. But that's what Rabbi Akiva understood. If there's a hole in this rock, it means the first drop did something. Now you can watch this rock for 100 years, water dropping on it, you won't see anything changing. You won't see anything changing. And you come 1,000 years later, however long it takes, 1 million years, 1 billion years, another long evolution takes, you have a look. And you'll see there's a hole in the rock. How did that happen? That Hashem gives you the seichel to understand, even though your five senses can't grasp it. It's a Moedic episode. I heard that from Ram Nach Weinberg. He said that's why he called Eishet Torah, Eishet Torah. Because what did Rabbi Akiva say? If water which is soft can make a hole in the rock, meaning the first drop, then Torah which is fire can for sure penetrate my heart, meaning the first word. You learn Torah with somebody, even one word of Torah is a different human being. He's not the same anymore. One word of Torah has gone into a Jew's heart, is under a mensch. It's not the same anymore. Yeah. So that's one of the things where you see clearly your five senses cannot grasp one drop of water making an impact on the rock, and yet your seichel tells you it has to be, because if there's holes in the rock, it must be the first drop did something, otherwise the second drop's the first drop and you never get a hole. Boshut. Validaya seichel mavdin adam bein emes l'sheker. Via the seichel, a person can distinguish between emes and sheker. Bein rav l'maat, a lot and a little. Bein toiv l'ra, bein meshubach u'maguna, praiseworthy and despicable. Ubein ma'ashe muchrach liyos bevadus, and bein ma'ashe tochen shevi tochen sheloye. He can tell the difference between what something has to be and something that, yeah, maybe yeah, maybe not. Uma shem hanimna shiye. Hanimna shiye, what does that mean? Uma shiye. That's the vadai. No, but that's ma shem muchrach liyos, but vadois. Kabein ma shi tochen shiye vi tochen sheloye. And then ma shi nimna shiye. Which can't be prevented, and it seems a repetition. Don't know. That I would have thought is the Mukhrach Liyos. Well, yeah, there are seichel.
In the
Lashon itself, yeah, so why do you translate it like that? Roy ve'efsha ve'nimna. No, Roy is not Mukhra. He doesn't translate, he's translating Roy as Mukhra. Ve'efsha. Interesting translation. Yeah, I'm just saying the translation's a bit... I can promise you one thing, there's buckets of Torah there. This is a Rishon. This is not. He says, Roy and Efsha and Nimna. Well, the Seichel Adam, Mashabit is Shabbat Lechayim. Right? The Seichel, a person, is Mashabit. He controls, governs Shabbat Lechayim, the Talos of Anoisov. For his benefit and his pleasure. And he recognizes the place of the stars. And he grasps the enormous distance between the stars and the earth. Today we really understand how big it is. Well, Tunuas Galgalayim, the movement of the planets, what speed they're moving in the directions, is able to understand the wisdom of astronomy. He understands all the relationships and the equations of the wisdom of Cheshbon and Handasa, of engineering. All the wisdom you understand that there's a supercomputer today that can do 24 trillion cheshbonos a second. They have supercomputers like that, right? So we rave about the computer. Think about the computer. That's Chochmas Avayra. Who do you think put the Chochmah into? Where do you think it comes from? You look at the genius of technology today, that's all Hashem. And it's nothing compared to Hashem. We use Waze. Have you got any musag about the genius of what Waze is? It's churning out billions of cheshbonos every second just to make sure you go where you're not supposed to go, because it makes a lot of mistakes. And it's doing it for everybody, not just you. There are millions of people using this thing at the same time, and that satellite, it's mind-boggling. So you can go, wow, you know, like this guy's really a big genius, and I wish I was clever like him. Or you can understand, who gave him the Chochmah? That's all Chochmah Sabayu. That's all Hashem. Elon Musk, he's from my hometown, he's a Pretorian. Expect genius, even the going from Pretoria were a different breed. Elon Musk, the guy that invented PayPal and now runs a company called Tesla, which is the largest motor corporation in the world. The guy must be 30 years old, I think. How long is Elon Musk? I don't think he's older than 30. He's running the forefront of driverless cars, and he's an absolute genius. He's built his own spaceship. I think he's running commercial trips to the moon now, really. Whatever. The guy's an absolute raving genius. You know, he said the greatest threat facing the human race today is artificial intelligence. I understand what he just said. Means he understands the enormous chokhmah and the potential of what's called computer intelligence or whatever it is, and he sees it as being an enormous threat. It's not science fiction stuff, whatever, but that's what he holds. Enormous chaval. It's a pele, that's a chaval. Genius. He put PayPal on the market when he was 23. Now today you take PayPal for granted, but at its time it was an absolute revolution. No way for the internet to meet kadem if there was people couldn't find a way to pay for their goods on the store. You have a shop and you're selling stuff, but no one can pay you. What kind of a business that's going to be? PayPal put the internet into the forefront of commercial transactions. That's what made it shine. You need to link into every bank, every credit card system. You have to set up systems and whatever. Unbelievable genius. 23-year-old Pretoria, Afrikaans Pretoria boys are graduate.
We have to use more the good things. That means we have also a genius who use not what we need.
Zatzal told me, he said, everything in the world is pirate. There's nothing good or bad in the world. certain things we know that Esav, Amalek is Kulu Rosha, but generally speaking, what we see in the world is Kulu Parik. How you determine whether it's good or bad. Everything. Something that could seem to be the best thing in the world could be used for destruction, and something that's the most beneficial, a beneficial word can be used for good, could be used for bad. Could have been used for good, yeah? The Midrash says before Mashiach comes, he's going to do tshuva. Esav will do tshuva. There's someone showing a Midrash over there. It could be all these evangelistic Christians that are trying to be nice now. It could be that they're trying to do tshuva. V'chein sha'a kol midas adam v'ashen izboinen v'hem timtso esam shem v'tachlis ha'shlemus v'telis adam k'mor sh'izkadim v'nadele seifo. All the midas, if you'll spend time analyzing all your midas, you'll realize that they all have purpose and they sholem and they all have enormous benefit for them. The same way as I've mentioned the seichel. What he's telling you is you have to take time out to get to know yourself. Recognize, see it, acknowledge it, celebrate it. People that know Kulu Tora Kulu. The people walking around today that have Kulu Tora Kulu at their fingertips, you understand? Mind-boggling. Everybody here knows how hard it is. One duff, another duff, and by the time you've done three duff, you've forgotten the first duff, and you're back. And the people walking around today that have got all of that, plus Shulchan Aruch, plus... genius of Hashem. It's enormous. That we have, Seichel we have.
It's like the top. It's not in one time.
No, you have to. Yeah. One day at a time, it's a drop of water. That's what Rabbi Kiva's Kiddush. The same way, that's exactly Rabbi Kiva's, the same way that the one drop of water on the stone doesn't do anything, seemingly. So too, when I sit and learn, it doesn't seem like I'm doing anything, or but you're growing and changing, and one day you'll see the big hole there. You'll see what it did for you. That's what's so hard in this generation. This generation wants instant quick fix. So Torah is not very conducive to quick fix. This is a long, slow haul. I had a chavrusa that tried to commit suicide because of that. Learning with me could also be a sibah for me. But some of you know, I was learning by him with Rav Baruch, who was a young Baal Teshuva. Genius, absolute genius. But he couldn't handle the fact that he couldn't master this like quickly, like he'd done everything else in his life. He mastered everything. Whatever he touched, he knew and he got, and he was the best in the world. He was just like, he was one of those super duper guys. And then he encountered Talmud Bavli, and he realized very soon in the game that he was going to be at this for many, many years. He was never going to become the God Lador. And he tried to kill himself from it. He was a psychological guy, whatever. He was a problem. I got a phone call 3 o'clock in the morning. Some of you know the family well. His sister married a very choshev avor from the Koyle, whatever, lives in London today. Married a shiksa in there. But he didn't want to understand that, you know, that this is water on a rock. It takes time. And even when you've learned it all and you've mastered it all, it's nothing. Yeah, there's a chazal somewhere, I think it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that says that all the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu learned was like a dog standing on the beach lapping at the sea. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah.
Everything in one time, like the Gela Zahav. That means they grow, and suddenly they drop. That should be also the same. You drop slowly, but if you drop quickly.
That's unusual when that happens. Kaino Alama Bashar Achas, they always died. Because it's not a natural path. You notice that? Everybody that was Kaino Alama Bashar Achas died. No one lived after being Kohen Olam B'Shachas. Because the Torah's
Derech... What's the point of living after that?
That's another question. But the Torah's Derech is not to be Kohen Olam B'Shachas. Yeah. The Torah's Derech is Sfir Sa'ime. One, two, three. Binyan Adam is made up of parts, and you have to build number one before you can build number two, and you can't build number three till one and two are in place. And it's a stepladder. You can't kofetz. Perfecting in the spiritual paths is very, very dangerous and always fraught with failure. You see people kind of lama b'sha achas. Yeah, but they all died. Because that's not the derech. But that's the Yetzer Hara. Nobody just crashes. Nobody just crashes. The Yetzer Hara comes first with this, and then with this, and then with this, and slowly, slowly, it's anyone else. How did this guy crash? Yeah, because
it was inside.
drops of water dropping. Yeah. The Yetzer Hara never comes to God and says, smoke a whole packet of cigarettes. When you're trying to give up smoking, the Yetzer Hara doesn't come and say, yeah, start smoking again.
Like in Bet HaMikdash, that was not in there.
Nachon. The Yetzer Hara comes and says, have one puff. What's one puff? One puff never killed anybody. Shira gave you a few weeks ago. That while the Yetzer Hara looks to the Tzaddikim like a big mountain, and to the Rishayim it looks like a Chut HaSara. Because the Tzaddik understands what the Yetzer Hara really wants. He doesn't want this little one puff of a cigarette. He wants the whole packet, so he stops him now. Whereas the Rosh thinks, what's one cigarette? You're right, it's nothing. And there's another one. Eventually, he's falling off the mountain. The Tzaddik understands what the Yetzer Hara wants. So we have to use that for our benefit. When you want to do something very small, the Yetzer Hara comes to you and says, what's one Gemara? What's one out of Gemara? What do you think you're going to become? It's like that. You tell him, you use that tool all the time, so I'm going to use it as well. That's what he does.